Thank you for being that kind of God. And Jesus, we're reminded through all these names of exactly who you are. And Father, thank you for being a personal God. And you want to meet with us right here, right now, no matter where we're at, whether we're in this room, whether we're watching online, or whether we're in South County or Lincoln. Jesus, it's your desire. It's your desire that we could grow a little bit more in our understanding of who you are. So we need your help. Holy Spirit, we're asking that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear and an understanding heart to know how we need to apply what you are speaking to us, how it can bring transformation. So please, come and do that work, we pray. In your name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat this morning. Well, it's good to know that not everyone is sick. It seems like everybody is getting sick. They either have COVID or something else is going on. And I'm just so thankful. We have an amazing staff team, but we have an amazing volunteer staff team as well. And our bench runs deep, and we were able to fill all the roles because of so many of you volunteers. Thank you for the way that you serve around here. And there are multiple adults serving in children's and in student ministry, and many of them were just filling in because, again, the bench is deep. So thank you for the way that you guys are serving around here. Hey, we are in this brand new teaching series called Fully Charged. Let me just say this. If you missed last week, I encourage you to go back and watch that, because it was just a foundational teaching on where we're headed over the next several months. So please go back. If you are in South County or Lincoln and you missed last week, please go back and watch that again, because it's foundational. If you are at home watching online this week and last week you missed it for whatever reason, I ask you to go back and watch that. What we are doing is going through the letter of 1 Corinthians. And as we go through this letter, we are seeking and asking the Holy Spirit to come and do a change in us, that the Holy Spirit would come and bring about transformation within us and empower us. And that's why it's this idea of fully charged. Today, here's the question that we want to think through, think through this question for you, and that is this question right here. What source are you relying on to get you from one day to the next? What's the source that you are relying on to get you from one day to the next? Now, most of us all have our phones, right? And you wouldn't think of going to bed at night unless you plugged that puppy in, right? I mean, you wouldn't dream of doing that. In fact, some of you won't even get in your car unless you have your car charger with it in there, because you want to make sure that your phone can hold a charge. You want to make sure that your phone is charged and that you have the power, the source that you need in order to be on your phone, whether it's for work or pleasure or social or whatever, right? And you know what? Stop and think about this. Think about the last time that you went on a trip and you were going to be gone overnight. What is one of the most important things that you wanted to make sure that was with you? That's your charger, right? Because you did not want to be stuck somewhere and have your phone, not be there. Some of you, if you're like me, you even have a portable charger. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are, you carry around this portable charger just in case. It's a backup for you, in case you can't find a way to plug in. So you you have a plan for how you're going to make sure that you're not going to lose power with your phone. And I wonder how many of us do this in our spiritual life. How many of us have a plan for making sure that we are spiritually charged? Just like every night you make sure that you plug your phone in, or whatever your rhythm is, you make sure that you have a rhythm in your plan of when you charge your phone. Do you have a plan like that for your spiritual life? I'm talking to every Christ follower. I'm talking to every one of you who have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And as a Christ follower, you and I need to make sure that we are charging ourselves spiritually. And here's what we're going to see today in the text. The power we need for daily living is found in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of you, the Holy Spirit is a familiar stranger. You know about the Holy Spirit. It's like that person that you sit, you go to the same place maybe often, and you know them. Maybe you have lunch in a work cafeteria or a work setting, and you sit down there, and you know them, but you don't really know them. There's no depth of relationship. You show up at the same place and get your coffee, and you know them, but you don't really know them. And for many Christ followers, that's what it's like for the Holy Spirit in your life. For many of you, the Holy Spirit is that familiar stranger. And it's our prayer that in this season of our life, in this year, that the Holy Spirit will no longer be a familiar stranger, but that we will deepen our relationship and our dependence on the Holy Spirit to empower us for daily living in the same way that we rely on our phone charger to charge our phone on a daily basis. So let's take our Bibles. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, again, this is Paul writing this letter to this church in Corinth. He's in Ephesus. This is a church that he planted 3+ years ago, and he's in a whole nother city, a whole nother region, and he hears about all this stuff going on, and he sends back this letter. And in this letter, today, we're just going to look at 5 verses. And then after we look at these 5 verses, we're going to take a look at the Holy Spirit and this theme of the Holy Spirit that we see in the Scriptures. But first, let's read a part of this letter. Paul says, when I first came to you, so when he first showed up to plant the church about 3 or so years ago, he says, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you about God's secret plan. Now, 2 things here. Last week we talked about this. You know, he's talking to a Greek background people. That's the context. And they had this thing about wisdom. It was a stumbling block for them. Because it actually became it was a pride. It was pride for them. They thought it was all about wisdom. And here's Paul saying, hey, I didn't come with these lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you about God's secret plan. Now, that phrase in some of your translations, it says the mystery of God's grace. You'll see that pop up in the New Testament many times. And I just want to make sure that you understand why they say that. They say that because of the Old Testament and all the prophecy about a Messiah who's going to come and a Messiah who's going to bring his kingdom. And there was all this mystery about the Messiah coming and about when and where and who is it. And so for hundreds of years, these prophecies that were circulating in the Old Testament, and they were trying to figure it out, and they just kind of summed that up as this mystery about God's grace, this mystery about God's plan. And now that Jesus actually showed up, the Messiah showed up, and there's all this proof that he's the very Messiah that was testified about or prophesied about in the Old Testament, that he is actually the Messiah. Now, Paul and the other writers in the New Testament explain it that now this mystery has been solved. We all know who it is. It's the person of Jesus Christ. So that's why you'll see that phrase pop up in the New Testament many times. So he goes on to say that he didn't use these lofty words, impressive wisdom, to tell you about God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. That's the mysterious plan. That's this mystery of the gospel that was hidden for so many years, but now revealed. And it's not a mystery anymore. And they keep on pointing back to that. And then he says this. He says, I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. Now, if you know anything about Paul, it kind of makes you stop and scratch your head and think, Paul wasn't too timid. Paul wasn't too shy. In fact, he was an extrovert, to say the least. He had no problem standing up in a crowd of people. But there's like this paradox here. Paul wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to get in the way of the gospel. So, as he already said, hey, I didn't use all of my background. Acts chapter 22, you can go back there and read that at some point. Paul lays out some of his background. Paul was trained by the best of the best. He was trained by some of the sharpest minds and philosophers in Jewish law. He went to the best of the best schools, if you will. And yet, he chose to show up and just speak about one thing. And at the end of chapter 1, you would see this one thing. This stumbling block that these Greek people had an issue with, wisdom. Paul would say that you guys are all hung up on this wisdom thing, but Jesus... The gospel sounds like foolishness to you, but that's what God's going to use to draw you to Him. It doesn't have to be complicated. And He's going to use this, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to actually make a difference in people's lives. And Paul says in chapter 1, this is going to sound like foolishness, but it's actually the power of God. And as a Christ follower, if you are tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be so bold and yet full of humility at the same time. It's kind of like a paradox. Like being bold and yet filled with humility. How does that happen? It happens in the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder about you. Do you have that kind of presence in a room? Do you have a boldness and yet a humility? Are you able to interact and engage with people in such a way that even though you are solid in what you believe and you know what you believe, but you don't come down at people, you don't make them feel like that they are less than because they're not on the same page with you? You see, that's what the power of the Holy Spirit does. It allows you to come across with a confidence and a boldness, but at the same time, with great humility. You see it in Jesus' life. Jesus practiced that all the time. Now, Paul goes on and says in verse 4, he says, my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, which he could have used, because Paul was a great orator. But instead of relying on all of this human wisdom, he says, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder about you. I wonder if you go into your day with as much Holy Spirit prep time, reliance time, that as you do mental to enter into whatever presentation that you have to present at work, or whatever project you're working on, or if you drive a school bus for kids, do you rely on the power of the Holy Spirit? Man, Holy Spirit, today help me to drive, like help me to see every student, help me to engage every student as they get on and off the bus. And it doesn't matter what your job is. You could apply this to whatever your role is, whatever your daily job is. And that's really what Paul's all about. Paul realizes that the power of the Holy Spirit isn't just so he can stand on some stage somewhere and orator about God. He realizes that this is a way of daily living, that the way he lives his life is reliant upon the power of God. Now, he finishes up with this. He says, I did this so that you would trust not in human wisdom, so that somehow you wouldn't think that this is somehow about me, and everybody would say, oh, look how awesome and amazing Paul is. No. In fact, there are other times that Paul will write this letter and that he will say, hey, it's not about me, it's not about Apollos, it's not about any one of us, Aquilas or Priscilla, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And he has kept that theme in the way that he lives this out. And here he says, it's about the power of God. And when he says the power of God, he's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit specifically. And this is the theme that we see that runs throughout the scriptures. So real quickly, we're going to cover several passages. So get your pens ready. I want you to write these references down so that you can hold on to them, or, you know, type them in your phone or whatever you want to, however you take notes. But there's this theme of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The Holy Spirit with the Father, the Holy Spirit on Jesus, the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit through us. We're going to walk through this theme real quick here this morning. First, let's go with the Holy Spirit with the Father. Genesis, going all the way back to the start. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." You see, right away, the scripture writers want us to understand that the Holy Spirit of God was involved even in the very beginning. In the beginning of creation, the Holy Spirit was with God. And here, I want you to hold on to this. We're going to come back to this phrase in a minute. "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." Hold on to that thought for a second. We're going to come back to it. So we see in the Old Testament and that idea of the Holy Spirit coming upon people runs throughout the entire Old Testament. Now we come into the New Testament. Fast forward all the way to the New Testament, Luke chapter 3 and chapter 4. In Luke chapter 3 and chapter 4, Luke gives us the account of Jesus' baptism. So that's what we're going to look at, and because that's when the Holy Spirit actually came upon Jesus. One day, when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. So this is John the Baptist baptizing, and as he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit, in bodily form, descended on Jesus like a dove. So, did you hear that? That Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in bodily form, came upon him like a dove. Why would Luke tell us? Luke, you know, his background is a doctor. Doctors don't normally write poetry when they're writing prescriptions, right? Here he is making sure that he uses this image. And then the other gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and also John, all four of them who were these eyewitness accounts of what happened in Jesus' life. These are like Jesus' biography about his life. They all use this, every one of them independently use this image of a dove coming upon him. And so we are told that in the Targum, have you ever heard of the Targum? The Targum is the Hebrew scriptures translated into Aramaic. Why? Because the Jewish people were taken into captivity, and in many for several years, and then they would have children, and then those children would learn the language of their captives. And the rabbis did not want them to lose the Hebrew scripture. So they would translate, they would take the Hebrew scripture and translate it into Aramaic, and there you have the Targum. And the Targum was probably what Jesus and the disciples were familiar with. And would you know that in the Targum, that in Genesis 1 and verse number 2, when it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, the surface of the waters, it used the phrase "like a dove." The writers want us to know that there is no other explanation except for the Holy Spirit of God. That's what they are experiencing. That's what they are seeing. And they are trying to make the direct connection that the same Holy Spirit who was active in creation in the very beginning is the same Holy Spirit who came upon Jesus in this time. Now, look what happens in Luke chapter 4. In verse number 1, this is after the baptism. Jesus, Luke is making sure that we understand this, full of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus gets baptized, now he's full of the Holy Spirit, and he returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit again. Here's the Holy Spirit. He was led into the wilderness. And we all know what happens. He was there in the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. And there he fasted. And he prayed and he sought God. And there in that wilderness, he was bringing his body into subjection so that the Holy Spirit of God could empower him and work in him and through him. And then Luke goes on, if you slide down to like verse 14, then Jesus returned to Galilee. This is, okay, so now he goes after 40 days, he goes and gets some rest, and then he heads right in. He goes right out for public ministry, and he returns to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power again. In this, in just these short paragraphs, we have Luke making this so clear. In order to practice the way of Jesus' life, we have to have the Holy Spirit. And to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, there is no other way. Jesus returned. He's filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly throughout the whole region. Why? Because he would stand up in the synagogues and he preached like somebody. He taught like somebody who had authority. He had, and he would show up and there would be sick people, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he could lay hands on them, pray for them, and they would be healed, or their blindness would be gone, whatever disease they would have. There was just something about Jesus, and it was the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Luke says this. Luke gives us this account of when Jesus is in the temple one of those times as he's teaching. And he goes and he grabs the scroll that has Isaiah on it. And he unrolls the scroll that has Isaiah on it. And the scroll where he starts reading is exactly the place where Isaiah prophesied about one day there's going to be a Messiah to come. And so now Jesus is reading about the Messiah coming, but he's the one doing the reading in the synagogue. Look at this in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now this is Jesus reading this from Isaiah, but he's speaking about himself. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God is upon me, he says, and for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. Jesus here also proclaims himself as the Messiah, because the word anointed is the same place where we get the word Messiah. And Jesus is saying that he is the Messiah. He's come to bring the good news to the poor. He's come to set people free. He has come so that the blind will see. And he's come to for those who are oppressed, he's come to release them from that oppression. And not only did he come to do that physically, he came to do that spiritually. Because they were spiritually blinded. And they needed the power of the Holy Spirit to remove the blinders, if you will. They needed that the power of the Holy Spirit to unclog their ears, if you will, so that they could receive who Jesus was. And I wonder about you here. Have you received Jesus as the Messiah? Have you had this experience of him setting you free spiritually? Have you had this experience of him setting you free from your sins? How about you who are watching online? Have you had this experience? If not, your very next step would be to receive Jesus as Messiah, to trust him as your Savior, so that you could receive the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit gives you the power that you need so that you can live the life that Jesus did. And that's where we're going next. The Holy Spirit in us. We talked about this last week, but in Acts chapter 1, And verse number 8, we have Jesus' words. This is after the resurrection, but before he actually ascended. He grabbed those 12 disciples, or 11, because Judas is gone, right? So he grabs those 11 disciples, and he says this to them. He says, go back to Jerusalem, and you wait there. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You see, the Holy Spirit hadn't come upon them yet. We talked about that last week. And you will be my witness. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be my witnesses. Why? We could ask this. Why is the Holy Spirit going to come upon them? So that they would have the power to what? Be my witnesses. Telling people about me everywhere. That is why. Paul got this. Paul lived his life. Even as a tent maker, as he would show up in each city, the reason why he did that was so that he could point other people back to God. It was about bringing honor, even in his work, bringing honor and glory back to God by making sure that he was telling them. He would not only demonstrated the love of Jesus, he told them with words. And Jesus here tells them, that's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. And he says, you're going to tell everybody. And then he says, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And wouldn't you know, as they waited there in that upper room, it became the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And on that day of Pentecost, when all of the Jewish people who had been scattered abroad from the known world, they all showed, not every person, but many Jewish people showed back up. Jerusalem is packed to the brim with all these Jewish people, but were living in other cities that spoke other languages like Aramaic, and there in these other, as they came back on this day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes and fills those 120 in that upper room, and they have the Holy Spirit of God and are able to speak the good news, the gospel, in languages that they personally, Peter, did not know all these different languages, but these people who are hearing these language, hearing the gospel in their own language. That is what the Bible calls about tongues. And in Acts chapter 2, you have people hearing the gospel in their own language, and this happened because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is always about us living out the gospel. That's why we need this. And then we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that he would work through us. That he would not just be in us, but that he would actually work through us. And in 2 Peter, in chapter 1, and verse number 3, watch what Peter says. Peter, who was there on Pentecost Day. Peter, who was there, who preached to those 1,000, to where 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus. And then those 3,000 people went back into their towns. And therefore, the gospel going to the ends of the earth, if you will. And now, Peter looks at us, and he writes a letter to people who were living in hardship. They were living in hard times. It was a difficult place to be a Christ follower in the time of when Peter is writing. And then Peter says this, by his divine power, meaning by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. He has given you and he has given me everything that we need in order to live out our life in a godly way. This is why you can show up with a boldness and a confidence and yet a humility at the same time, because it's the Holy Spirit at work within you. This is why you can have so much long suffering. This is why when you respond, it doesn't have to be with a harshness, but with a gentleness. This is why you can actually love those hard to love people, because you have everything that you need to live a godly life. And this is why the chains of sin can be broken in your life. This is why those of you who struggle with some sort of addiction, that you can actually break that chain, that addiction, because you have the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christ follower, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you have everything that you need for living a godly life. We can do this. You can show up in your school, and you can show up in your workplace, and in your office, or wherever you work, or wherever you shop, and you can live out a godly life. You can be the mom, you can be the dad that God has called you to be, because you have everything that you need in order to live a godly life. If you're plugging into the source, are you plugging in? Are you taking time? Do you take as much time and care as you do about your phone as you do for your spiritual soul? God would call us to live like that. And one way for us to recharge, if you will, is through fasting. Fasting aligns our hearts to God's heart. If that's what fasting is all about, that fasting isn't about getting what you want from God or me getting what I want from God. That's not why we fast. We fast to align our hearts to God's hearts. Fasting is a way for us to recharge ourselves spiritually, and that's why we're asking the entire church for this church-wide fast. And when we say fast, this is the definition in the strictest terms, 12 to 24 hours without food. If you are medically cleared to do that, please, if you've taken medicine and you need to take it with food, you need to consult with your doctor. Do not do this. We are not asking you who may have some health concerns going on to be to participate in a fast like this. But there would be some other way maybe that you can participate in the fast and through prayer. But if you are medically able to, we're asking you to either choose a 12 or a 24-hour time of fasting. If you are Jewish, you would probably start your fast at supper time. You would have supper with your family, and then you wouldn't have supper again until supper time the next day. And so that's one idea. Maybe you want to try that. And then it starts tomorrow, January the 10th through the 30th. And here's what we're asking you to do, to choose one day each of those weeks. So you're choosing, there's 3 weeks there. Choose one day that works best for your schedule. And whatever day you choose, would you use the time that you would normally be prepping for the meal, eating the meal, and then cleaning up the meal? Use that time to seek God, to align your heart. You're asking God, God, align my heart to your heart so that I can understand. Each of these 3 weeks, we're going to have different themes for each week. This week, we're asking us to offer our fast to God because of sin. Sin in our own life. Sin in the life of those around us, in the life of our state, and to offer this fast for the sin of our country. And as we align our heart to God's heart, may we grieve like God grieves over our sin. And may He point out some sin in us that we can get right with Him and align our hearts to Him. Along with this, we're asking you to think of one thing that you could abstain from for the entire 21 days. Starting tomorrow, will you abstain from one thing for the entire 21 days along with your fasting? On your connection cards are the next steps. And the very first next step says this: I will join the church, a wide prayer and fasting starting this week, Monday, January the 10th. Will you do that? Will you let us know? By indicating on your connection card, man, just say, hey, Rick, we are all in. We're going to take that stack of connection cards, or if you do it online, we'll take those, and we're just going to pray over it. And we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit shows up in your life and that you're going to see God move and work in your life and in this year like He has never done before, because we have moved our hearts, because we have aligned our hearts more to be like God's hearts, and we're going to deepen our relationship with Him. The other next step on there, it says, I need to plug into the power of the Holy Spirit so that I can live and share the message of Jesus with others. You know, that's our sole purpose. I know so many of us think, oh, it's to, you know, get married and then have kids and then have a career and all this stuff. You know, for a Christ follower, for someone who has received Jesus as their Savior, your sole purpose is to bring honor and glory to God and to finish that work. Read it. It's in read John 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's all right there. That is what you and I are called to do. And you are called to be a witness in your workspace. In your schooling, you're called to be a witness. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. You can't do it without it. And so, we invite you to let us pray for you that you could have the power to not just say the words, but to actually live that kind of life. And then the last next step says, I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. If that is where you find yourself, that's the first step. You can't have that divine power unless first you have received Jesus as Messiah. And so if you haven't done that, then let us know on the connection card. Make sure your information is on there so that we can reach out to you. I'd love to be able to call you this week and just talk you through that. Or if you're watching online and it's easier for you to text the word TRUST to our texting number, 401-496-9710. Just text the word TRUST. You're going to get an instant reply. Click on that. And then when you click on that link, that's where you give us your name so that we can reach out to you. And that connection card is also so that we can be praying for you. So if there's some way that we can pray for you, use it for that. Put it down there. This week when we gather, we'll be praying. If it's easier for you to text, again, it's just text that word pray to our texting number so that we can be praying for you. I want to pray for us now, and we're going to respond to this teaching through a song called The Holy Spirit. So Father, we come to you this morning, and we realize, God, we can't do this in and of our own power. So will you come and empower us? Will you come, Father, and may the Holy Spirit be upon us so that we can respond, so that we can demonstrate the love of Jesus, and that we can actually use our words to tell people about who you are. And Jesus, if there's somebody that hasn't given their life to you, they haven't received you as Messiah yet, Holy Spirit, give them the insight. Call them, draw them to you so that they can give their life to you. Jesus, we need you, and we can't do this without you. Come and move among us, we pray in Jesus' name.